WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Pry Report with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry was an intelligence officer with the Central Intelligence Agency and was responsible for analyzing Soviet and Russian nuclear strategy, operational plans, military doctrine, threat perceptions, and developing U.S. paradigms for strategic warning. Dr. Pry is Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, a congressional advisory board dedicated to achieving protection of the United States from electromagnetic pulse, cyber warfare, mass destruction terrorism, and other threats to civilian critical infrastructures. Dr. Pry has also served on the staffs of several congressional commissions. Due to his expertise, he's been a guest on numerous national and international radio and television programs, such as Life, Liberty, and Levin, with host Mark Levin on the Fox News Channel, Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business, and the BBC made his book War Scare into a two-hour TV documentary, and his book Electric Armageddon was the basis for a TV documentary by National Geographic. Dr. Pry has written numerous books on national security that include Blackout Wars, Apocalypse Unknown, Electric Armageddon, and War Scare, Russia and America on the Nuclear Brink. And now, here is your host, Dr. Peter Pry.
Welcome to another edition of the Pry Report, where we'll always tell you the truth about our national security issues, where we'll always tell you the facts as best we know them, and where we will explore in depth national security issues that you're not going to hear about, definitely not from the liberal mainstream media, and not even from many conservative organizations like Fox News that don't have the time or apparently the interest to explore these things in depth. And yet these issues are vital to the survival of Western civilization, to the United States, and to you personally. The views you'll hear here are politically incorrect in Washington, yet many of the best analysts believe them, but they're too afraid to say so in public. Issue today, today's topic, will be Russia's 100 megaton monster bomb. It might actually be a 200 megaton monster bomb. A new weapon system called Poseidon, the Russians called Poseidon. It's a super weapon that was announced by Russian President Vladimir Putin last spring, where he confirmed that they're developing and already experimenting with a robot submarine. It's an unmanned submarine or self-propelled torpedo that's artificially intelligent, and it's designed to carry a massively powerful nuclear warhead. Most Russian press describes it as being 100 megatons. And the purpose of this weapon, according to Putin, was several-fold. That it would be designed to create radioactive tidal waves to flood the eastern and western seaboard, where most of our population lives, flood them, eliminate the coastal cities with a huge tidal wave that could be raised to 300 meters high, that's 300 feet, by means of a 100 megaton bomb detonated off the coasts of the United States, East Coast, West Coast, Gulf Coast. And that would flood out cities and towns and cause radioactivity so that these places would become uninhabitable. They've also described them as being for taking out aircraft carrier groups, because the underwater shock wave and tidal wave from a monster bomb like this could destroy our aircraft carriers. The mission I think is most likely for these is to take out our ballistic missile submarines. They are the last survivable leg of the triad. They can destroy our bombers, they can destroy our ICBMs with the weapons that they've got now, but our submarines have always been the thing they haven't been able to get at. They've been successful at hiding in the ocean, undetected by the Russians. But with an artificially intelligent robot submarine, they may well be able to track our ballistic missile submarines and tail them with these Poseidons. the shockwave from a 100 megaton bomb would be over 100 kilometers, so they wouldn't even have to be close, so that at a signal, when they're ready, they could take out our ballistic missile submarines. Let's talk in more detail about this new doomsday weapon, because that's what it is, and that's how the Russians have basically described it too. Doomsday has a name. Moscow christens their newest nuclear apocalypse machine Poseidon, after the Greek god of oceans, earthquakes, and tsunamis. Poseidon will be deployed between 2018 and 2027. According to TASS, the program was secret until 2016. Well, TASS turned out to be wrong about 2018, and they are on the verge of deploying it, according to Russian press, and we can see that they are practicing with an experimental model. They've talked about deploying this year, eventually, about 32 of these. In 2016, Russian state television accidentally, put quotes around that, accidentally revealed plans for an unmanned robot submarine, like a huge intelligent torpedo armed with a massive 100 megaton warhead, the largest nuclear weapon ever deployed by any nation. Poseidon would explode underwater to radioactively contaminate and inundate with tsunamis U.S. coastal cities and seaboard, where are concentrated much of America's military, industrial strength, and population. U.S. intelligence confirms the existence of Poseidon in the 2018 Nuclear Posture Review. Russia is testing a prototype now. Russian press reports the power of the robot submarine will be 100 megatons, equivalent to 100 million tons of TNT, according to former senior Defense Department official Mark Schneider, one of Washington's best informed analysts. There have been other Russian press reports that give the yield as high as 200 megatons. A single press report has given the yield as 2 megatons, which is still powerful, but that's more of a run-of-the-mill, more powerful than your average Russian nuclear weapon, but 200 megatons is obviously not nearly as powerful as 100 megatons. So what to make of these various estimates on the yield? Several sources say 100 megatons to 200 megatons. One source has said 2 megatons. Well, it's possible that this advanced nuclear weapon has a dial a yield, so that they could adjust the yield to whatever the target is. Maybe the 2 megatons would be for going after aircraft carrier groups, whereas the 100 to 200 megatons would be for the doomsday mission that would entail using one of these monster bombs to make enormous tidal waves against the U.S. coastal regions and irradiate them with radioactive tidal waves. Now, Interfax reports, quote, on March 1, the Russian president spoke about the creation in Russia of unmanned underwater machines capable of moving at a very low depth, that is a very deep depth, and an intercontinental range at a speed far exceeding the speed of submarines. That's about 100 kilometers per hour, which is a very high speed, faster than any of our subs can travel for the Poseidon. The most modern torpedoes and all types of surface ships, even the most high-speed ones, wouldn't be able to catch Poseidon, Putin said. And Poseidon carries a, quote-unquote, massive nuclear ordnance, according to Russian President Vladimir Putin, a massive nuclear ordnance. That phrase isn't consistent with the lower estimated yield of 2 megatons. That's a lot more consistent with 100 to 200 megatons. Because 2 megatons, as I said, that's on the higher end of the yield side for a Russian megaton, but 1 to 2 megatons is kind of a run-of-the-mill nuclear weapon for the Russians. That's not, in their book, a massive nuclear ordnance, but 100 to 200 megatons is, and that is the yield that's most often cited in the Russian reporting on Poseidon. Poseidon contractor Alexei Rachmaninoff tells Interfax that Russia's doomsday robot bomb is, quote, not a fantasy, not a prototype, and it's not a cartoon. These machines really exist. Unfortunately, Russia's 100 megaton doomsday bomb is real. Moscow built a 100 megaton bomb called the Tsar Bomba, the King of Bombs, officially RDS 2020, and it was tested the day before Halloween on October 30th, 1961. Czar was deliberately tested to only half strength, which was 50 to 60 megatons, by removing the third stage. They did that, Russia did that, and tested the bomb to only half strength because no bomber could survive if Czar were tested to full strength. At 100 megatons, Czar would have covered much of Russia with radioactive fallout, even though it was tested in far Novaya Zemlya, beyond the Arctic Circle. Czar with a three-stage thermonuclear weapon. The first stage used fission to compress a thermonuclear second stage, just like a normal H-bomb. Except the first and second stages were much more powerful than a normal H-bomb. The first and second stages alone yielded 50 to 60 megatons, which was already twice as powerful as the biggest U.S. H-bomb ever built. You know, the biggest U.S. H-bomb ever built was only 25 megatons, half as powerful or less than half as powerful as the first two stages of the Czar bomb. Czar's thermonuclear second stage was designed to compress another thermonuclear third stage and to fission a uranium tamper. All three stages would release an estimated 100 to 150 megatons. The third stage would also, by fissioning uranium, produce enormous amounts of radioactive fallout. Czar's third stage was not tested to reduce both blast and fallout because the Russians didn't want to irradiate their own territory. Czar is the most powerful nuclear weapon ever built, even at half strength, yielding the biggest explosion ever produced by mankind, releasing more than 10 times the energy of all the ordnance exploded in World War II. 100 megatons is energetically equivalent to 10,000 Hiroshima A-bombs, 10,000 Hiroshima A-bombs, or 1,000 U.S. W-80 H-bombs. That's our average H-bomb, which has a yield of 100 kilotons. So it's equivalent to 10,000 Hiroshima A-bombs or 1,000 U.S. H-bombs. The most powerful bomb ever deployed by the U.S. is the B-41 that I mentioned earlier, which has a yield of 25 megatons. And we don't even have that in our inventory anymore. It was scrapped in 1976. When testing the Czar, even though tested only to half strength, the Soviets estimated their bomber crew only had a 50% chance of surviving the blast and thermal effects. Its enormous fireball was visible at a distance of 1,000 kilometers, that's 620 miles. Czar's shockwave was observed rippling the atmosphere at a distance of 700 kilometers, that's 430 miles. Moscow tested Czar over the wastelands of Novaya Zemlya, a remote island surrounded by the Arctic Ocean, to isolate its effects from the Russian mainland and from humanity. All buildings within the test range, both wooden and brick, were destroyed. Destroyed also was the village of Severny, located 55 kilometers, that's about 34 miles, from ground zero. The thermal pulse would have caused third-degree burns at a distance of 100 kilometers, 62 miles, and was felt by an observer 270 kilometers distant. That is 170 miles distant from ground zero. So even if you were 175 miles from ground zero, you'd still have gotten third-degree burns from the Czar bomb. Windows and doors were broken at a distance from ground zero of 900 kilometers, 560 miles away, including in Finland and Sweden. Even though the Czar bomb was not a ground contact burst, but an air burst, at an altitude of 4 kilometers, that's 13,000 feet, it caused an earthquake-like seismic shockwave registering at 5.5 that circled the planet three times. You see, a ground burst would have caused an even bigger seismic shockwave, you know, because the shockwave would have coupled better with the Earth's surface. But even detonated at a relatively high altitude, 4 kilometers high, the shockwave still was enormous, circling the planet three times. If Czar was tested to its full 100 megaton yield instead of half strength, its energy would have been equivalent to 10% of all nuclear weapons ever tested. Radioactive fallout from Czar's third stage that was not tested would have been 25% of all the radioactive fallout produced from all nuclear weapons ever tested. Tsar made such an impression on Andrei Sakharov, who was on the bomb's design team, the Soviet scientist who helped design Tsar, the Tsar bomb, that thereafter he became an outspoken opponent of nuclear weapons and the USSR's most famous political dissident. So the blast had such onerous psychological effects on Andrei Sakharov that it turned him from being one of the Soviet Union's leading nuclear weapons designers to becoming a dissident and an anti-nuclear weapons spokesman. So what to make of this Strangelovian threat from Moscow? What to make of Poseidon and the Tsar bomb that are now being deployed to threaten us? Moscow is telling us the Cold War is back in deep freeze. They are thinking about 1950s type all-out thermonuclear mass destruction of entire people and nations. After blasting us into oblivion, they would sow our soil with radioactive salt so there could be no recovery. You know, another characteristic of the Poseidon high-yield nuclear weapon that that would threaten us is that it's going to be seeded with cobalt, according to information that was leaked to us deliberately by the Russians, cobalt, so that the radioactive effects would be particularly severe and particularly protracted. That's another characteristic of it. So they would sow our salt with radioactive elements like cobalt, so there could be no recovery, at least not any recovery for centuries. That's what they're threatening us with. I would recommend, if you want to know more about Poseidon, I published a report on this. It's really the only report out there. There are newspaper articles, but no in-depth reports. It's called Poseidon, Russia's New Doomsday Machine, and this is available through Amazon.com. Poseidon, Russia's New Doomsday Machine, available through Amazon.com for more information on it. Let me talk a little bit more about what I think the real purpose of Poseidon is, however. I mentioned this in the beginning, because all the other reports you're going to read about Poseidon in the press focus on the spectacular claims about making a radioactive tidal wave. That's the thing that people are most focused on. But, you know, that doesn't really make sense as a mission for Poseidon. They don't need to create an enormous tidal wave 300 feet high. They could. A nuclear weapon used in that way of this power would be able to raise tidal waves that high that would be able to inundate our coasts. And they could, by sowing the bomb with radioactive cobalt and having a third stage that fissions, make it a highly radioactive tidal wave that would make our coastal areas uninhabitable, possibly for centuries. But they could do the same thing with the nuclear weapons they've got now. You know, ICBMs could do ground bursts on our cities, on the coastal areas, and they could kill all the people, and it would spread radioactive fallout that would also make the region uninhabitable. So Poseidon doesn't add anything new to their doomsday capabilities in that respect. They could also go after aircraft carriers. That's the other thing that they've advertised the Poseidon as being able to do. But they already have cruise missiles and bombers that can launch cruise missiles, including hypersonic weapons, that can go after our aircraft carriers with nuclear warheads. You don't need a 100 megaton bomb to destroy an aircraft carrier. They have satellites that can locate our surface aircraft carriers that travel on the surface of the ocean and with great precision, and target them even with an intercontinental ballistic missile. They could use ICBMs to take out our aircraft carriers if they wanted to. But they also have a variety of strike aircraft, like blackjack bombers, that are actually specially designed for going after aircraft carriers with nuclear-armed cruise missiles. So they don't need Poseidon for that either. The one thing that they really do, that this weapon makes the most sense for, is going after our ballistic missile submarines. All during the Cold War, the one part of our nuclear triad that the Soviets weren't able to destroy was our ballistic missile submarines that were deployed at sea on a day-to-day basis. In a surprise attack today, the Russians can take out our bombers because the bombers aren't even on strip alert. They aren't uploaded with nuclear warheads waiting to take off as they were during the Cold War. They're not on strip alert. Even North Korea could take out the entire bomber leg of our triad. It's only on three bases. At Minot, Barksdale, and Whiteman Air Force Base. They can get all the B-52s and all the B-2 bombers. They can take out our ICBM force. We've reduced our ICBMs from over 1,000 to 400, just 400 ICBMs. And their missiles now, like the SS-18 Mod 5, has yield accuracy combinations so that every missile silo could be destroyed by just one warhead against each silo. So with 400 warheads, they could destroy 90% or more of our intercontinental ballistic missiles. They could use an EMP attack to paralyze both the bombers and the intercontinental missiles and their command and control and stop them from launching so that they could destroy them with the ICBMs. And the missiles and bombers would be also destroyed by a super EMP attack. So they basically can destroy them twofold. The ballistic missile submarines on a day-to-day basis are mostly in port. About two-thirds of our ballistic missile submarine fleet is in port. Those two would be destroyed by an ICBM strike and by EMP. So they've got a twofold means of destroying those ballistic missile submarines that are not deployed at sea and that are sitting at port. What they've never been able to do is get those ballistic missile submarines that are out at sea on daily patrol. About a third of the ballistic missile submarine fleet is on daily patrol. Right now we have 14 Ohio-class submarines, so about 4 to 5 of them are on patrol at sea. The Ohios are now so old that they're scheduled to be replaced after 2030 with Columbia-class ballistic missile submarines. The size of the fleet is going to be reduced from 14 to 12 Columbia submarines. That means, on a daily basis, we're only going to have 4 of those 12 ballistic missile submarines at sea on patrol. So, arguably, the only thing standing between us and a nuclear World War III in the future is going to be those 4 Columbia ballistic missile submarines that are hiding in the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. Because the Russians are able to destroy the ICBMs and the bombers and the submarines at port. The Chinese may be able to do that today. If they can't do it right now, they'll be able to do it in the near future. But those ballistic missile submarines, that's the last part of the nuclear deterrent that's been regarded as invulnerable. And the Nuclear Posture Review in 2018 continues to describe them as invulnerable. I personally am skeptical about that invulnerability. But the Russians are deploying Poseidon, I believe, is their ace in a hole. The one mission they haven't mentioned for Poseidon is probably the mission they intend, which is to hunt those ballistic missile submarines. Why do these Poseidon submarines have to be artificially intelligent in order to create tidal waves that would inundate our cities? They don't have to be artificially intelligent to do that. They do have to be artificially intelligent if they're going to recognize the sonar signatures of our ballistic missile submarines and to track them and to evade our anti-submarine capabilities, all of which Poseidon, according to the Russian reporting, is capable of doing. So I think that the real purpose of this new super weapon of the Russians is to go after the ballistic missile submarines that are patrolling at sea on a day-to-day basis. A 100 to 200 megaton warhead will have a tremendous underwater shock wave that will reach out hundreds of kilometers, possibly hundreds of miles, so that they don't even have to get close to those submarines. If they can get within tens of kilometers or tens of miles of the submarines, they'll be in a position to destroy them with the shock wave. And being artificially intelligent, The Russians, at the time of their choosing, would be able to communicate with these submarines and tell them, now is the time. This is our nuclear D-Day. Take out our ballistic missile submarines. And another important factor about these submarines, by the way, is they're nuclear powered. So they can go out there on patrol and stay out there for years without being refueled. At least for months, if not years. And trail our ballistic missile submarines while they're on patrol on a day-to-day basis until the crisis comes. I think the fact that the Poseidon is nuclear-powered is another factor pointing away from their purpose as a tidal wave-generating weapon. You know, you don't need to have this thing nuclear-powered so that it can be out in the Atlantic and Pacific for months or years in order to fulfill that mission. Still, the Russian way of war is a doomsday of way of war. This is how they waged war against the Mongols and against the French when Napoleon invaded and against the Nazis. And so I don't rule out multiple purposes for this machine as well. I think its primary purpose is to be a secret weapon that will finally enable them to win World War III hands down by taking out all three legs of our nuclear triad. But if they also wanted to destroy us by sowing the land with radioactive salt after nuking our cities on top of everything else, they could use it for that purpose too. And then there's the psychological game that they're always playing with us. I'm sure that they have told us about Poseidon, also for purposes of nuclear blackmail, to make us more compliant, to make us more afraid to challenge their aggression. The best way, Sun Tzu says, the best way to achieve victory is to achieve victory without war. And the Russians, Moscow has always believed, just as North Korea and China have also always believed, that you can use the threat of nuclear weapons to achieve victory without war. And some would argue they're winning without war now. You know, Poseidon is another tool to achieve that victory of tyranny and of the slave world that exists under Russia and China and North Korea to prevail over the free world. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Pry Report. Maybe I'll have better news to report next week.